We've already had some celebration, and we're looking forward to more. And I trust that you will be doing the same. You know, I've been praying that we, FBC, will finish 2017 financially strong. Even 100% if the Lord wills, whether it be through one donor, 10 donors, 20, or 100 or more people giving as they're able to give and beyond. And if you take your worship card, you can look at that. And last Sunday, our general fund was the largest offering I remember since I've been here for a single Sunday offering, $26,459. That's 236% of the weekly budget. And so we're up to 95% for the year. And I'll tell you what, it's just a blessing when you see God answer prayer. And I know you've been praying much the same, and we're just excited about that. But most of us at some time or another have witnessed the amazing blessing of God at some time or another, right? I mean, you've seen God do some awesome things. It may be that a money came in at just the right time for a bill, or maybe you were hoping for a phone call, and lo and behold, you got the call. Maybe it was from a job interview. You got the job. Wow, praise the Lord. Or maybe you were hoping someone was going to come and visit, and they called, and they said, yes, we'll be there. And you said, oh, man, that's great. And just a blessing of the Lord. Or maybe yet, you're waiting. You've prayed. You're wondering. You're waiting. You're hoping. You're watching for something, anything to happen. And it may be financial. It may have something to do with a relationship. Maybe a job. Maybe you're hoping that your house will sell and you're waiting for that to happen. Or maybe you put a bid in on a house and you're waiting for the bid to get accepted. Maybe it's conceiving a child. You're waiting, you're wondering, you're hoping. Maybe it's a medical condition. You're waiting for healing. Or maybe it's just general heartache. You're just going through a challenge, a difficulty, and you're just wondering what God could do, and nothing yet has happened. So how do you deal with that? Well, take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, familiar Christmas passage. And here you find that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. So remember the historical context. Israel hadn't heard from God for 400 years. The political climate was not ideal. You had this self-consumed, paranoid, genocidal king on the throne by the name of Herod. Pastor Nate filled us in on that a little bit last week, didn't he? Did a super job with that. And yet, at just the right time, look at verse 26. At just the right time, in the sixth month. Now, the context would indicate that the sixth month was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. So in the sixth month, verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God." It's a good place for an amen. Thank you. Nothing. No thing is impossible with God. The theme for our Christmas season is to celebrate the miracle of Christmas. Miracles have to do with the seemingly impossible stuff that takes place, or that could take place. And God tells us right here that nothing, no thing is impossible with God. Now, how can this possibly be? How could this possibly happen? Well, you look at the obstacles to overcome and they seem insurmountable. All right. The first one we've already alluded to, and that's communication from God. You think about, God, the fact that God had been silent for 400 years and he sends an angel to speak to her relative, Elizabeth, telling her that she would have a son, John the Baptist. And now the angel comes to Mary. How unlikely. Really? Why at this time? Why do these individuals would God speak? The obstacle is overcome through the Word of God. God spoke at just the right time. Think about that. 400 years of silence. God did not speak. He had the Old Testament, but then nothing. And yet, at this particular time, for a particular reason, God speaks. Think, okay, well, what's that mean for you and me? Well, the encouraging thing is that God has spoken. You have it right there. If not in your lap, the pew in front of you, you have the very words of the living God. God, for you and me, we're not waiting for God to speak. God has spoken. Wow. He overcame the obstacle. So when it comes to whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're waiting for, remember, go to the Word of God. Go to the Bible. Go to the Scripture. If you're struggling, you're wondering, you're waiting, and you're crying out to God, you're praying, which you need to be doing that, go to the Word of God and find out what God has to say in relation to your particular situation. Here's another obstacle, the physical inability. Verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? You will be with child. How could this possibly come about? I'm a virgin. And so this obstacle is overcome by the power of God. The Holy Spirit enables Mary to conceive without a man. By the way, the virgin birth is essential to Jesus becoming man. This is not a take it or leave it doctrine. It is essential. You say, well, how's that? Well, just in part, think of Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, sin entered into the world through one man. That one man was Adam. And death came to all men through that one man, through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. You see, sin is passed through the seed of the man. And therefore, since no man was involved in the conception of Jesus, he was born without a sin nature. That's how God, perfect, holy, pure God, could become man. God figured it out and enabled Mary to become pregnant without a man. And so, as a result, he truly is the perfect Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world without blemish. Well, here's another obstacle, and it's the matter of favor with God. How is it possible for sinful man to have a relationship with a holy God, a God who could not look on sin, who could not tolerate sin? How is that even possible? Well, it's possible because of His grace. The word favor in relationship to God is the word grace. Mary, you have found grace in the eyes of God. It wasn't because of Mary and how great she was and how wonderful she was. And I'm sure she was a wonderful young lady. You know, I mean, wow. What a privilege to be chosen by God to give birth to His Son. But it was because of the grace of God. Verse 28, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The one who is a sinner finds favor with God. And how is that possible? It's possible through salvation. And only through salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't earn it, you can't work for it, you can't deserve it, you don't deserve it. It's only by His grace that you have favor with God, that you can stand before God. It's because of Christ and His righteousness, not by any works of righteousness of your own. And so the angel tells her that she's highly favored. That was how the obstacle was overcome, the sin obstacle. And the child will be the Son of God. This overcomes the obstacle of the ability to have a relationship with God. Look at verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end. So this overcomes the obstacle, or this obstacle was overcome through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How could it be that he would one day rule and reign forever? Because he rose again through his resurrection as a result of his death. And his death was because of your sin and mine. He died to pay for your sin that you could never pay. And he rose again. So how again is it possible for you, for me, for sinful men, women, children to have a relationship with God? It is impossible except through Jesus Christ and his salvation. Obstacles. So what obstacles are you facing? What might that be? Are you facing a mountain of debt? Or you're trying to talk to someone and they just simply won't listen? Something you'd like to see happen and it just ain't happening? Something you want to see moved and it won't budge? How do you deal with that? How did Mary deal with that? How could this be since I am a virgin? How did she deal with that which was impossible? When God said, nothing is impossible with God. So the focus of our thoughts here today, as we learn from Mary, is to note her response in all of this situation with this statement. Look at verse 38. After the angel says all of this, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In essence, she was saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not about me. It's all about you. So here's a take-home thought. You've been waiting for me to get to that, right? Here's a take-home thought, and that is the key to witnessing a miracle is believing what God has said. Very simply, the key to witnessing a miracle, and we think of the miracle of Jesus' birth. How can I experience a miracle? Or witness a miracle? The key to witnessing a miracle is believing what God has said. In order to witness God doing the seemingly impossible, you must believe what God has said. Now listen to this. This is very important. In relationship to your situation. This is your greatest hope. Many people either think or say, I know what God's Word says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. And then they wonder why they don't see God doing the impossible. In order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what God has said. Now, you may be here today and you might say, well, I asked God to do fill in the blank, and it hasn't happened. He didn't do it. What's up with that, Pastor Dale? Come on. I asked God to do this, and He didn't do it. In fact, He did something completely different. Again, what's our take-home thought? The key to witnessing a miracle is believing what God has said. Not believing what you want. Several weeks ago, we did a series in the month of November on faith. We're going through a study, by the way, and through the book of Matthew. We finished the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 8 and heading into chapter 9. And we saw Jesus talk about great faith. And even with His disciples, He said, oh, you of little faith. But we pointed out that we need to guard against faith in faith. Oh, God, do what I want you to do. I have enough faith that you're going to do what I want you to do. That's faith in faith. And great faith has faith in God, in His work, in His will, that His will be done. And that's what Mary's saying here. Nevertheless, in essence, not my will, but your will be done in relationship to this situation. So your faith must be in what God has said in relationship to your situation. We'll talk about this. Look at Mary's response. She says, this is her response. After she hears this, she says, I am the Lord's servant. Listen, a servant doesn't go around telling the master what to do. She just said, you know, after hearing all this, she could have said, no, wait a minute. I'm just a teenager. Come on. I've got my life ahead of me, and now I'm going to be strapped down with a kid? You know? Really? That's quite an imposition, God. She didn't do that. She says, I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. You might say, well, man, if God came to me and said that, I'd do the same thing. God has spoken, remember? God has spoken in His Word to you and to me. Can you and I say, may it be to me as you have said in relationship to whatever your situation may be? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The matter in relationship to you, listen, is in God's hands. May it be to me as you have said. Lord, it is in your hands. And so what you must do is you must believe what God has said in relationship to your situation and leave it there. God, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's in your hands. I believe what you have said. Now, listen, that is humble submission, right? That's humble submission. And we admire Mary for that submission. To be in submission to what God has said. Now, so what is your situation? What are you facing? What are you experiencing? What are you dealing with? In order to witness God doing the impossible, you must believe what God has said. He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God's Word is sufficient to give you help and hope this Christmas and all year. God's Word speaks to the issues of life. Are you worried? Well, God's Word speaks to that. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. By the way, I'm going to mention several things. You might jot these passages down, at least as a beginning reference to go to. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So you rejoice not in your circumstance, not in your situation, but you rejoice, what is it? in the Lord and who He is and what He will do. And it's so important to do that. He says, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God is in this situation. So therefore, He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Are you worried? God says something about that, doesn't He? How about problems with finances? Problems at work, marriage problems, problems with a boss, friends, loneliness, loss, death of a loved one, unfavorable news from a doctor. You see, God's Word speaks to all of that as well. Again, go back to Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Whatever that need is, He will meet that need in His way, according to His will. We just need to submit to that. How about struggles with sin? Evil thoughts, anger, gossip, pornography, addiction, sexual issues, lust, fear. You see, God's Word speaks to all of that and more. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. God has made me a victor, not a victim. We're more than conquerors through Him, Romans 8. So God's Word speaks to that. You need direction on how to make wise decisions, how to grow in Christ, how to communicate, how to be a good citizen, how to be a good church member, a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good worker, a good student. God's Word speaks to all of that as well. 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please Him. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10, He says, and find out what pleases Him. And we find out what pleases Him through His Word. It comes back to God, the fact that God has spoken. And that, see, all of this is a major presupposition of our ministry here at FBC. And that is that God's Word is sufficient to speak to the issues of life. God's Word is sufficient. He hasn't left us wanting and wondering. He has spoken. So, the question this morning is, are you willing to submit to what God has said? Are you willing to submit to what God has said? In order to witness God doing the impossible, believe what He has said. Now, here's an additional component, and that is, put His Word into practice. Do what He says. You see, the point is to believe it to the extent that you will do or you will obey what He has said. Again, Philippians 4:6, talking about anxiety. He then gives you a prescription for anxiety. And He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. So you're going to pray with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart, and that will help you, for example, in the matter of worry. So you put into practice what God has said. You see, the nature of belief is to believe to the extent that you will do what God has said. God says, go back to the text here, in verse 32, and He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give Him the throne of His father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Let me ask you this. Will you allow Jesus to be the ruler of your life now? Will you allow Him? There's a sense, I believe, in which He rules and reigns in His sovereignty even now. He will one day literally rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years and then forever. But are you willing to let Him rule and reign in your life right now? As you submit to His Word and what He has said. You may not be able to comprehend the fact that Jesus can take your sinful soul and give you eternal life. But what has God said? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, but you don't know how bad I've been, or you know, or maybe, you know, how could God save a sinful soul like me? There's some people like that. But there are other people who say, oh, well, my sin's not that bad. There are other people who say, well, it's just too easy. But what does God say? If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He is King of my life. I'm going to let Him rule and reign in my life. And believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead. The fact that He is, in fact, God who could pay for your sin. If you believe that, you receive that, you will be saved. What has God said? You see? I'm going to believe what God has said. If you want to see the miracle of new birth, believe what God has said. Will you allow Him then as a believer to rule over the areas in your life? Sin areas, growth areas, decision areas. You see, in order to witness God's miracles, you must believe what God has said and then act upon it. Find out what pleases the Lord. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. So as we draw this to a close, allow your belief to affect your actions. Allow your belief to affect your actions. You want hope this Christmas? Have the convictions of Mary. In order to witness the miracles of God this Christmas, believe what God has said and then act upon it. Believe to the extent that you're going to do what it says and show that Christ makes a difference and God's Word makes a difference in your life. And then you will witness the work of God in an exceedingly abundant way beyond what you could ask or imagine. You see, the impossible is what God does best. At the beginning of my message, I mentioned the provision of God for our ministry. And I had started praying. I've been praying this since September, October, and just, God, I pray that we'll finish strong. We've been hovering around 92%. And I just like, wow, you know, God, I pray that you'll just do a work here. But, you know, when you think about it, I just want to assure you that as I think about this, I'm not talking about having the finances to pay the bills. You know, the giving here at First Baptist Church isn't just to merely pay the bills. But what I want, this Friday, Pastor Doug texted me and he said, hey, you got a minute? And I said, sure. So we met in the office here and Pastor Doug came in and he told me a story. And I think this story really helps understand the whys of the ministry here at FBC. So Pastor Doug, if you'll come and share with us for a few minutes.
I want to share with you a story this morning, a true account of a family, of a single mom in Troy and her two teenage children who were facing some seemingly impossible obstacles in their life concerning relationships and stability. The mother and children had suffered some rejection from numerous and broken relationships, including a divorce. And yet she and her children bonded together, struggled and fought against all of these things that were pushing against their lives. And in order to focus not on themselves and their problems, but on others, they purposely determined to do random acts of kindness for other people. And God blessed them. The amazing blessings of God when you believe His Word. This lady's work associates would encourage her. They'd pray with her. One of them gave her a Bible. A few weeks ago from today, one of the work associates invited her to a Christmas tea at the church of this lady's mother in Greenville. She accepted the invitation. She went to the Christmas tea. And even though she was one of the youngest ones there, she developed a longing for the type of fellowship she saw among these women at the tea. At the conclusion of the speaker's message, there was a response card on the table. She really didn't know what to do with the response card, but she just started writing and writing and writing. And the lady who brought her joked with her and said, "Are you writing a book?" And she just filled that card, pouring her heart out, left it on the table, and headed home with her friend, headed back to Troy. But before she got back to Troy, she received an email from the speaker relating to what she had written on that card. This impressed her. The speaker, even though she was not from this area but from around Columbus, said she wanted to get together with her, wanted to meet and continue the conversation. This lady, being very gracious, didn't want her to come all the way from Columbus, so they arranged to meet in Springfield. She met with the speaker. That speaker shared with her her heart, shared with her from the gospel, gave her some good biblical counsel, left her with some Christian literature, encouraged her to unite with a fellowship of believers locally. In fact, the speaker encouraged her to come to First Baptist Troy. Well, this lady wanted some positive connections in the right way. But she wanted to try First Baptist, but as a family, they had tried some other churches. One church, they drove into the parking lot and decided, as a family, "No, we don't want to go here," and they left. Another church they attended, and to them, it just wasn't welcoming. So she decided to come to First Baptist all by herself, leave the children at home, check it out and see if this is the place where I'd want my children to be. And she came, and she attended one of our worship services. Now, oddly enough, in my thinking, it's this series of circumstances. She parked in the back parking lot, came in through the back doors, door number 7, didn't know we had a welcome center, sat in the back of the worship center, didn't complete a communication card, was touched by the service, and said later, she said, the worship service was awesome. But she left without us knowing who she was or how to contact her. And then the very next day, I received an email from the speaker, from that tea, sharing with me that this lady had worshipped with us, giving me all her contact information. I said, "Now what do I do?" I prayed for the family. I prayed for wisdom and how to proceed. And a few minutes later, I placed a call. Placed it on her cell phone. She was at work. But in God's timing, she had a period of a few moments where she could talk. We talked. She wanted to talk more. We arranged to carry the conversation on later that day, which we did. I could tell from her voice she wanted to get together. She wanted me to meet her children. She wanted her children to meet us and to just talk further. It was a busy schedule and a busy week for all of us. But through a series of chains of conversations, my wife Carol and I made arrangements to meet the family here at the church on a Thursday night. And this won't surprise you that know me. We talked for about 2 hours. Each one of them just shared about their lives and their family. Carol and I shared about First Baptist and the type of loving, welcoming family that you are. And I could say that very positively. The 2 hours went by rather quickly. And then the conversation turned to Christmas. And I started talking about the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus coming to earth to communicate to us his love, of his dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and rising again to offer to us freely the gift of eternal life. And I used God's word and explained God's plan of salvation and said, "Have you ever heard or understood that before?" And they hadn't. And I said, "Would you like to pray and trust Christ as your Savior? I don't want to push you." I said, "There's no magic formula. There's no magic words." And I gave them kind of an outline of what they might want to include in their prayer and reviewed it a couple times. And then one by one. First the teenage son, then the mom, then the teenage daughter, prayed and trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes, amen. I tell you, Carol and I, our hearts were jumping for joy, and there was a party in heaven because the angels were rejoicing. I couldn't wait until I could share that story with Pastor, and he wanted to have me share that with you because it's not just about me sharing the word. You see how many people are involved in bringing that family to Christ, and that's only in a short period of time. So this morning, I want to thank you. Thank you first for giving me the opportunity of ministering here at First Baptist. I want to thank you for praying for and supporting our missionaries. Because the speaker at that Christmas tea was Beth Horst, the wife of our Word of Life missionary, Dustin Horst, that I know many of you pray for. The Horst work with our teen ministry teams. I want to thank you for all the ways that you're involved formally and informally in ministry here. You know, it's important how you greet people. It's important you just have a welcoming attitude towards people as you're here and you greet them. We never know the struggles that the person sitting next to us has been going through this past week. And you're so sensitive to that in so many ways. I want to thank you for completing the communication card every week. Okay, that's one thing I've pushed a long time. That is so important for us keeping contact with you and contacting with new people. You may say, oh, I don't need to fill it out. Filling it out, your presence may encourage the person next to you to fill it out or the next one. And we may need that information to follow them up. I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being a body of believers where families like this divorced mom and her two teens can come. They can be welcomed. They can build positive, stable relationships and grow in Christ, or as we like to say, where they can connect, grow, and give back. And I want to thank you for being a family of God here at First Baptist. When you support the ministry of First Baptist Church, you don't just support maintaining the facilities and paying the salaries. You're supporting life-changing ministries that are making a positive difference for all of eternity. And this is just one story of many that are happening on a regular basis here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Doug. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Well, I tell you, when I was in Fort Wayne, we had the chairman of our deacons who would often pray for during our services, and he would say, Lord, it is amazing to see how you turn the giving of God's people into saving of lost souls. So again, we are seeing God do amazing things. In the last 2 weeks, listen to this, in the last 2 weeks, we have seen 7 individuals come to Christ. Amen? Amen. And again, to God be the glory, great things He is done. Let's continue to be praying to see God doing His amazing, life-transforming work in the lives of people who come to Christ, but even in our own lives. And again, it's all to the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to Your Word. You have spoken. And thank You that we can rely upon You, that we can place our faith and trust in You because of what You have said and because of who You are. And You are faithful. Draw our hearts unto Yourself. Open our hearts, whatever our circumstances may be, to hear what You tell us here today through Your Word, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know what your situation may be. I don't know with what you are dealing or struggling with. But realize, take hope in the fact that God can do the impossible. In His will, in His way, but we trust and believe Him to do His work. There may be someone here, Maybe you've never trusted Christ. You say, you know, I'm just not so sure about that. Maybe you have questions. I encourage everybody to fill out a communication card, whether it's from the pew in front of you, a connection card, or online, or through the YouVersion there. And if you have a question about salvation, or you would like to trust Christ today, just jot that down. We'd like to talk with you about that. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Or maybe you just would like God's people to be praying about a matter with which you're struggling or dealing. And just jot that down and pray for you. We'll be praying for you. That's how we put our prayer reminder together. If it's private, personal, just check for pastors only. And we'll, as pastors, we'll pray for you concerning these matters.